evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hawk coming to you live. It's Thursday night, 12/2/2021. And I'll tell you what, since we're in the 2021, I'm going to just read here chapter 21 of Luke a little bit, all right? And for all of their abundance, here, let's see. Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all have. For all these have their abundance cast into their offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast it all living that she had. Oh, let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time where we're going to all have to cast whatever we got and to stand up for what is getting ready to come down, to protect our families, to protect ourselves, to stand for the Lord Jesus. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. There was a big pulse explosion this afternoon on Cumbre Vieja. And for those who say that nothing's happening there, all I can tell you is it looks like, as Brother Quayle has said from underneath, it's like somebody's taking a carving knife and carving out a whole section of the country. Also, if you take a look, the entire large portions and swaths, the lava is so tall it's up to the top almost of church steeples. So nothing's happening over there. Bull crap. And I'm going to tell you what, since 2004, when we had some U.S. Navy SEALs fight a thunderball exercise against Russian Navy swimmers underneath there in like a thunderbolt event underneath the ground or underneath the water, and that they couldn't raise that unit, could not raise that unit for some time. And finally, somebody was able to radio in, and then some really interesting boys, some helicopters, the MMB, went and got him and then took him to Puerto Rico and got him passed up. And I wrote that in a Hawk Talon years ago, and Brother Quayle put it up. And I'm going to tell you, that was true then, but since then we have not learned the lesson, because the Russians can pop that sucker at any time. I think they've got in that position anything they want to do, all right? They also have been operating totally off the charts with their electromagnetic pulse stuff and their harp-like stuff out of the Arctic. And then out of the Antarctic, there's been some activity as well. That's more to the fallen angels. But let me tell you what's been going on here pretty quick. Because I'll tell you what. Oh, let me just say one more thing about Cumbre Vieja. Verse 26, Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear. No, wait a minute. Let me go back here. Verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. When that thing, if it roars at 300 feet high, at 500 miles per hour and hits the east coast of North America, you're talking about 65 million dead just in that area. Because that sucker will go in 10 to 50 miles, I'll bet you. And anything below sea level, bye-bye, bye-bye. You got to get your boat or get something ready to go and head to the high ground, because from the time it blows and that shelf falls off, and that tidal wave or tsunami starts, you got about 5 hours. Anyway, now, let me say and tell you what's going on. It's just incredible because it's been something that we've been looking at since about Saturday. All right? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now we're sitting on Thursday. And all I can tell you is many people are aware and said, Hawk, we better tell people that Putin gave the red line speech. Yes, he did. And prior to that, back a while back, he said, how would you like it? You know, the Black Sea is like my Great Lakes. How would you like it if I put stuff into your Great Lakes and see what you would do? All right? And what you understand, ladies and gentlemen, you can get into the Great Lakes from the St. Lawrence Seaway and come on down, you see. Come on down, international. There's all kinds of ships. ore ships, grain ships, all kind of stuff goes back and forth on that. Cargo vessels, yachts, Chris Craft, whatever it is, cabin cruisers, you know, sailboats with the motor running instead of the sail. And they come right on down from Maine, Canada border, and on in down to New York and into Lake Ontario. And from there can go to the other Great Lakes. So let me tell you what's been going on. This is from information of a signal intelligence people that I'm in touch with. Deep background type stuff. And then they're in touch with others, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm just not going to skip. I'm not going to give you all that kind of baloney. I'm going to tell you what's happening. So in the meantime, they're talking about all the, you know, the stuff in Congress and this and that and the other and, oh, you know, and the idiots, you know, in this place or that place, or doing the Roe v. Wade, all of the things that are designed and that are important, but are there to keep you busy. All right. Meanwhile, you had Blinken, Slinken and Blinken and, Austin tell the Russians that, by golly, if you go against Ukraine, we need you to back out of there, back down, because there's going to be, we're going to make you pay for it. All right. Well, let me tell you what. About last Saturday, somewhere like that, on the number station that broadcasts out of Lourdes, Cuba, the Russian number station, there was a signal that most people get tired of listening to the alphanumerics or the numbers after a while, and it's code stuff, but a lot of it is the filler, and then when you get the right particular thing, if you're the listener, the Russian spy or the operative or whatever that's in the United States or wherever they're broadcasting, you pick up their code name, you know, or their code letter or their code numerals, and then there are messages, okay? The GRU, that's the Russian military intelligence stay-behinds that have been in the United States for quite some time and have also had children who are in now in the program. They're the ones that had all the suitcase nukes. Used to be buried up in this place in the Blue Ridge and in this spot and the other spot all over the country. And they could go dig them up. They kept them charged up on a periodic basis. And they could bring those and put them where they want. But here's the deal, the real deal. Since that message, and the message was, attention, attention, 911 slant or forward slash slant 31. 911 slant 31. And we couldn't figure, we knew what 911 means, but that was a Russian message that was given. And it was heard by a lot of people, and a lot of people then tracked it and saw that it was done in Lourdes in Cuba. That's the signal intelligence, Russian and Cuban joint signal intelligence base in Cuba, where they used to broadcast stuff into the United States. We used to have radio, Marti that broadcast into them or whatever and drive them crazy and try to jam their communications. But after that, now this is an interesting thing because on a certain Ohio, the state of Ohio, marks, it's their police, sheriffs, federal agencies, all that kind of stuff, emergency radio network. Long about real close to the shift change, and I think this would have probably been Friday night or Saturday night, maybe it was either Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday, but right about the shift change, with no attribution as to city or to which OSP or, Cincinnati or Cleveland or Columbus or whatever, Springfield, whatever, police department or whichever county, you know, Warren or, you know, the different counties throughout, you know, Ohio, without any attribution. They came on a message. It was a very interesting message, and it was almost like a countdown. And it was 98, 103. The next night, it was 98.04. And then we didn't hear that anymore, but then there's so much other stuff going on I'm going to tell you about right now that we couldn't listen to all of it. But that may have been some sort of a countdown. And what you got to remember, allegedly, President Obama gave the Spetsnaz, the Russian Spetsnaz, the Russian Special Forces, gave them 1,500 top-of-the-line, brand-new U.S. military radios, which then can interface with the feds, the state, local, and the federal police and agencies, plus the U.S. military, plus NATO, and gave them all the NATO codes, okay? That's allegedly what he did for the Russian Spetsnaz that he hired, and many of them are still on a clandestine, a covert, black budget payroll, and they're still in this country. Then there's others that are GRUs that are second generation, all right, or even third generation in some cases, that are in this country. There are also lots of red Chinese, which currently they have a treaty or an alliance with the Russians. They're in here. But here's what we got going. Now, we saw then an E-6B went out to the West Coast. We saw one go up over the central part of the United States. We saw one go to the East Coast. All right? Well, that was interesting. And then we heard about a carrier group that was off San Diego, not in San Diego, that was off there with an air cap up, and that it was looking and out on patrol. Then we started hearing about all kind of stuff going on, and the first thing that my guys heard about was out of Offutt, from the ground to 45,000 feet, somebody flying a RC-135 like they stole it, all right? I mean, going lickety-split, up to 45,000. Then that plane went, which generally has a complement of a large number of intelligence people, SIGINT people, maybe 14 or 15 of them on that plane. They are monitoring, looking at sensors, radio traffic, the whole nine yards. And that plane went, and it went up over the St. Lawrence Seaway as it was coming down into New York and was overflying that, as if it was looking for something coming down that international water, the St. Lawrence Seaway. And then it spread out, and then it looks like it started to go over Lake Ontario, okay? And it's very, very interesting is that then that stayed up for quite some time. As that stayed up, we then had helicopters come out of, I believe, Fort Drum. Helicopters came on down in, allegedly, from what we're understanding, allegedly with small units on the helicopters, not all, but on some small units to then be put down in various areas along the Lake Ontario and part of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and like doing patrols. Then the helicopters stayed up and were doing racetracks, okay? Then, this is still a few days ago. It's still ongoing today. We've seen as many as 351 or 52 U.S. military planes up over the United States in one day. And they're not on the way to Africa. They're not on the way to South China Sea. They're not on the way to the Mediterranean. They're not on the way to England or the Netherlands or Norway. They're not on the way to South America or whatever. What they're doing is they're all up by the Great Lakes. Now, let me just reiterate as best I know and as I can recall, because there's been so much of this. And we've been watching it, you know, all day long, all night long, talking about it off and on. And this is quite interesting because the war has already started. And I believe in the theory that I'm telling you, the theme is that Putin has in fact likely, Hawk did not say, I guarantee 100%, Putin likely has utilized some of his new craft. And for those of you who have seen the book Covert Shores, or look at HighSutton.com, S-U-T-T-O-N, you see that there are different Russian craft that are made to look like oceanography craft or freighters. They've always had freighters and fishing trawlers, but these look like things. And then now we're understanding is they're making them to look like yachts, okay? A yacht that could then come down the St. Lawrence Seaway and come on into the Great Lakes. But now what's in the yachts are in secret holding with ability to flip out and to put them in the water are submarines. Submarines that can be sometimes manned or they could be drones. Now the drone submarines could also possibly, or the manned, might have the capability of launching a torpedo or a cruise missile. Oh, starting to get interesting, huh? Or they can take some people, get them out of the rubber ducky or pop up in the Spetz Seals, could pop right up into the lake and go ashore somewhere. Now, it's interesting as we had on the day we had the Munich train station blew up. Oh, well, that's a World War II bomb. Well, sometimes they hit them, you know, and they're down there. That Munich train station has been built and constructed around and remodeled and all that stuff many times since World War II. But now, why would a bomb go off now? Or maybe one was down there and somebody just popped it, okay? It's to keep the Germans in line with respect to Russia and to keep them out of the Ukraine if they want to get their oil and natural gas to come on through. That's what that's about. At the same time, this past weekend, there was a recycling plant in East St. Louis, pallets that blew and caught on fire. All right, well, kind of interesting. And that could have been the Red Chinese, because the Red Chinese are buying recycling plants all over the United States, or trying to. But then, just the other day, up there by the Indiana Dunes, there was a steel mill kind of a thing, a slag pit or whatever. And I might even know who owns that mill. But anyway, that mill, that thing blew and caught on fire up in there, right near the Great Lakes, Indiana Dunes. Very interesting. Now, still ongoing from a couple days ago, let's say at least since Sunday night, we started seeing instead of RC-135s or, you know, E-3Bs or whatever, which they were up West Coast, Center, East Coast, but then we started to see all kind of traffic after it was found out that that signal was relayed from a vessel or a submarine in the Gulf of Mexico, like a little bit south and a little bit west of Houston, but out in the Gulf. So we then started to see a whole lot of P-3 Orions and P-8 Pegasus and all kind of activity down in there, plus helicopters and all kind of stuff. And there's still quite a little bit going on right now. Plus vessels, surface vessels, and also maybe putting a submarine or two of ours in there to see what's going on. But they have been doing that. And then at the same time, off the Baja, which is not far from where that carrier group out of San Diego is sitting out there looking and on patrol, all right, there was a relay from there, from a sub or a Russian vessel. And going back, these new vessels could look like, just imagine a real big cabin cruiser that's a yacht, okay? Not necessarily a hydrofoil, but a big yacht that may not draft as much, may not take as much water to be used, but they certainly could sail in the Great Lakes. And then the St. Lawrence Seaway has been dredging stuff over the years to accommodate international traffic through that into the Great Lakes, and from the Great Lakes out into the Atlantic. So what Putin, I believe, has done is called the bluff of old Mr. Pup, Red China Joe, all right? And he's calling the bluff on this thing and calling the NATO bluff, and that they have done what he said that we were doing and the British were doing, putting, well, you remember the USS Donald Cook. Oh, they turned it off with their Sukhoi flight overhead, turn off the entire Arleigh Burke destroyer, all of the electricity and all of it except the exit lights, I was told, and minimal power, emergency power only. So, while we've then also put bombers up in that area, we got all kind of naval units. We got the Whitney and all these different things, the NATO carrier group and the task force and the whole bit. So Putin's now said, well, we'll use some of our possibly, allegedly, Putin says, we'll use some of our new type of spy ships, which look like, oh, they might even have on the back like Miss Wall Street. Okay, or, bond trader or whatever. It could be something like that. They also, the Spetsnaz and the Russian GRU, can speak perfect English. And I told you, well, it's been about a month or so ago when somebody was up in upstate New York and they were out at a farm and or a TSC or one of the farm, you know, provision stores out in the country, and they were looking at chickens. When the guy came up and he started talking about chickens and all that, and he was looked like a regular guy, but then he sort of got to talking and his accent slipped in there. Okay, remember when I reported on that? Well, those guys, the Spetsnaz that Obama hired, many of them are still in here. Back years and years ago, we started getting reports, and this is germane here, I'll tell you in a minute, reports of in Minnesota, by the lakes, and in Wisconsin, and the Upper, and different places, all along the Great Lake area, but particularly at the northern parts, that the hunting camps and the fishing camps seemed to be something that were filled up with a lot of hunters and fishermen that may have been allegedly Russians, but they spoke English. They weren't necessarily different in the way they dressed. Probably had on, Michigan sweatshirts or Paul Bunyan red and black buffalo check flannel plaids or whatever, you know. And they were like regular hunters or fishermen. And that they allegedly bought into those places. Also, all along the lakes, those old-time motels, the old-time ones, you know, the ones that were like the Big Chief Motel or the Tom Tom Motel or the Northern Pike Motel or whatever it was, the ones that said free TV, you know, vacancy, free TV, that kind of stuff. Back from the old days, the 40s, 50s, 60s. In the early 70s, well, some of that stuff we told you on this program back in around 205, 206, somewhere in there, or maybe up into 207, that we knew somebody who had gone. It was the old Cold War warrior went up around the lake on a vacation, you know, and he happened to see all kind of single military age men with new pickup trucks staying in these hotels and being out on the balconies and that kind of stuff, yet at the front gate it said under construction or private property, no entrance, or blah, 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 blah. So they've been housing them up in those areas around the Great Lakes. So now if you have this new capability, and let's say you send in, some of these big yacht-like cabin cruisers, or maybe like a transport vessel, a small one, or a small freighter, and you send them in like they're going to go to Duluth or, you know, somewhere like that, or, you know what I'm saying, going to some port along the area. Well, if they've got the submarines in them, can offload them, and those submarines and also the ship itself could have cruise missiles popped and ready to go, or if the guys get out in the little swimmer boxes and they got their warhead or they got their nuke device, they can do some stuff to blow the Great Lakes, the locks, the different stuff, and the factories and food warehouses and grain mills and grain, you know what I'm saying, the grain refineries and all that stuff, the steel mills, all of the industry and the infrastructure of the Great Lakes. Or they could just blow it and then screw up the drinking water, fresh water, for a whole lot of places. But here's the deal. This is not a drill, because this has been going on, and they're literally wearing out pilots, U.S. military pilots and planes. Now, they're also using, like we saw Monday, Tuesday, and are still seeing today, because another one took off. We saw a C-17 come out of Wright-Patterson, go directly up to 40, 45,000 feet. Then it went straight out up into Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and that area up in there. And then also went on over into like Ontario and places, Erie and Ontario. And it was almost like it was on a racetrack. And I got in my mind and said to myself, I said, now this is interesting. Why are they using a C-17? Which is huge. I said, they could be dropping radio sons, the buoys, out of there like a P-3 or a P-8 Pegasus would be doing. They could be dropping them out of there or out of a C-130 or something to also put them in the lake to have sensors looking for. Oh, guess what? These new drone subs, the drone subs that are smaller, that could be concealed in these cargo ships or these big, what I call yachts, these things, some of them, according to what's being described, might be able to go almost supersonic underwater. Not the torpedo, the Skibal torpedoes that can, but the sub. So now that's a possibility. I don't know about that particular sub, but I know about the others that are on these vessels. We don't know the full capability because most of it is from the, you see pictures of the Yantar, Russian vessel that was there. Also, the other day, apparently, when the F-35 fighter jet went kaploop into the drink off the British, Queen Elizabeth or whatever their aircraft carrier, and went down into Davy Jones's locker. Apparently, there was a Russian vessel over there, an oceanography or research vessel, that happened to be by there. And I submit to you that as the F-35 started to take off, they probably zapped it with their portable electromagnetic weapon that we've talked about on this program endlessly and told you about it. How it took out the helicopter in Navarre Beach, all the different planes and stuff that have gone down. Mysteriously, the planes that came out of South Carolina and went down in the Georgia woods, the fighter jets, all the different things that we've told you about, and the cluster keeps going on and on and on. And let me tell you what, clusters are not coincidence. Clusters are not coincidence. So with the statements and the things by Putin, a late night meeting, which then focused in here where he talked about the red line and all this stuff, and it's still ongoing. Lavrov met with Blinken up in Sweden, I believe, or Denmark, yesterday or today. And then that didn't go well. And Lavrov said, we're getting ready for the whole shoot match, military threats and things in Europe again. And that's the way it is. So what I'm telling you to be is there is an ongoing major defensive operation, search, surveillance craft. The C-17 went up there, it came back. Others have since gone up in there. We've had C-130s allegedly filled with paratroops or some kind of a troops, special ops, or paratroops out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, They have not been going, and the local scuttlebutt is in the cafes and that kind of stuff, and amongst the wives, maybe. Oh, they may be deploying to Africa. Nope. They've been deployed into the Great Lakes. And right now, they are allegedly, we have a lot of small units. They're saying, you patrol this 15 to 20 miles of lakeshore. You got this one. You got that one. We got the helicopters up. We've had C-130s come out of there, out of Campbell, going up, land up there. They come back. They land again, do all this stuff. We've also had, I believe, and allegedly I believe, and you know, this is some of this hard to check, people, but I'm just going by what I know, okay? And what I surmise, because you can see it happening, and we're listening to it, and all kind of stuff. I've got more to tell you here, so I'm going to keep going. So Fort Drum, it's got the 10th Mountain, I believe. They've been deployed up in there. I think some of them are along the St. Lawrence Seaway and into Ontario, too. Now, we've had other units go on up to the Upper and then over around into up into Superior, Lake Superior, and the top of Lake Michigan, on over into Minnesota. This picket line and surveillance line extends all the way across the Canadian border to Vancouver, just north of Seattle, all right? And then it goes down the west coast. Every so often there's a ship and a lot of aircraft up and out looking, surveilling, but they're not right on the coastline. They're out 50 miles, 100 miles out. And I suspect also that this picket line with their combined radars and then the maybe the over the horizon radars maybe are being turned on. I haven't heard that yet. Anybody out there in California, you know, north of the Malibu, north of the Boo and all of that up in there, and on up the pike, up by Bragg and Point Reyes and all that stuff out there, why don't you tell me if you're hearing about the over-the-horizon radars being turned on? Because they're looking for the Russians. They're looking for the Russians, probably also looking for the Chinese. But I think these over-the-head, all these radars, the combined picket line, overlapping radar fields, you see, would then possibly be able to detect, possibly, if you're out 100 miles, they might be able to detect a cruise missile, or possibly a hypersonic. They might get a glimpse coming from far away of a hypersonic. They may be able to do a snapshot, possibly, and shoot it down. But I doubt it, but they might be able to. Now, while that's all going on up and down the West Coast, you got to clear across the Canadian border, and the Great Lakes is the main focus from Superior on over up to the Ontario and then up the St. Lawrence Seaway, all right? So you've got troops up in there. Now, today there's been an RC-135 had to leave, and then apparently, allegedly, we brought two RC-135s, which are surveillance planes, intelligence, signal intelligence planes, surveillance planes, brought them back from England to go on to duty over the Great Lakes, because these things, you can't keep them up in the air that long. The pilots can't stay up that long without goat pills. And it's not safe to do it. So they're having to come back and land and put more assets into it. But at this point, I'm going to tell you, I believe that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, not in a mass, big troop formation, hut, 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 close quarter drill, march, march. No, in small groups, sticks, A-teams, that kind of stuff. Small groups patrolling along the shorelines looking for anything. And if you're up along any of the Great Lakes, from Superior to Michigan, you're in the Upper, you're anywhere along the Canadian border, you start to keep your eye peeled for anybody coming out of the hunting camps, the fishing camps, and they're going down to the lake, and they're down there. But keep an eyeball peeled to see if you hear any Ruski talk or you hear any something that's not right. And if you're out fishing, you're on the lakes, then do your part and keep an eyeball. Get your binoculars out. Look for unusual stuff. If you see it, you report it back. Report it back and say, I know that there's something ongoing where our troops and aircraft are up looking for Russians, okay? Looking for either Russians and or Chinese. But the Russians are the one that are there, I believe, under Putin's orders, because he's playing his card. And it's a little bit like the Cuban Missile Crisis all over again. Only this time, Red China Joe ain't JFK. And the U.S. military, with the people involved at the top slots, is not the same as it was. Even in terms of number of ships, number of aircraft, number of people in uniform, not even close to what it was back in the 60s. You got good people in there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing the military, the rank, the file. I'm not dissing the non-coms or the good line officers who are tough as nails, okay, or some of the good intel people and signal people that are coming forward around the corners to try to get the word out. Now, is there some kind of countdown going on? Well, I've told you what we've also heard through the deep, backside, the deep background stuff. There's somebody that's in the intel world, a few of them, that are getting information out about Illuminati and about how the Illuminati are sending representatives or going themselves, in some cases, I bet, are going to Antarctica, taking flights down to Antarctica, and there's going to be a big meeting under the ice somewhere. And that supposedly is happening on December the 4th. Allegedly happening December the 4th. Hawk did not say, guaranteed, all the Illuminati are going to be there on December the 4th. No. Hawk said that allegedly there's going to be a meeting of Illuminati or their representatives down at the Antarctic areas under the ice. And, you know, they have those ice caves in there. You remember Linda Moulton Howe talked to a SEAL who was sent on a deal. She also had other pilots and stuff that saw doors out in the no-fly zones of Antarctica. Oh, yeah, they got no-fly zones because they don't want you to look where they see UFOs. And you go back to – go to stevequayle.com and go to Operation High Jump. Look for that on Steve's site and go to that site, learn about it. Admiral Byrd, all the different things and how they fought the Nazis down there. The Nazis were in league with some kind of aliens. They had spacecraft, the whole nine yards. Brother Quayle put out one heck of a book, you know. Put out one heck of a book, you know. Empire Under the Ice, you know. How the Germans won World War II. So you better look into that. And I would tell you, go to stevequayle.com, go to his book section and get that book. Start to understand about New Schwabenland and things like that. And how the Russians even had videotapes that surfaced back a few years ago showing the alien spacecraft attacking our U.S. Navy vessels and our aircraft, our fighter planes and stuff. So anyway, that's supposed to happen on the 4th of December. So I don't know if there's a countdown or what the deal is, but I think we're getting ready to get smack attacked, okay? I think that they feel that the United States is weak with Biden and Harris and Jig Your Booty and old goofball Austin, who seems to be himself a hybrid between the Lucy and the alien and the, you know, possibly fallen angel. And then you got Pink Jackstrap Millie, all right? Who he's calling the Chinese guy, and maybe they can just have a little boy party or something and, you know, and settle all their deals. We won't attack you. We'll tip you off if we're going to attack you. Well, I'm going to tell you what. That's weak stuff, baby. Weak stuff. But there is power in the blood of Jesus. And by golly, I'm sitting right here doing the best I can to reiterate information that's been ongoing for days. Now, the C-130s are carrying stuff up there, but some of them do racetracks. Helicopters all over the place doing racetracks. Still out over the Gulf, a lot of helicopters down there. And now an E-6B is up over the center part of the United States. It's command and control, center part of the United States. I don't know what you're calling yourself, whether it's boxcar or snake eyes or just the big duker up there. I don't know what you got. And I don't know if you got a TR-3B up above you. But as I told you last week on Friday night late, I saw, maybe some of you didn't hear it, I saw right about within a few miles of my house, over a certain intersection at about 2,000 feet, a TR-3B, a smaller triangle, I would say maybe about, at about 2,000 feet, somewhere like that, about 100 foot on the side of the triangle. It had the three lights underneath, on the tips, and one in the center. And then you had up along the edges, it was almost like a white light, like it was louvered. And I saw it was sort of like it was louvered in a sense. But I don't believe this was a drone, brothers, sisters. This was, I believe, a brand new TR-3B. And if it was the MMV, the Mighty Men and Women of Valor, Il Dottore 357 SIG, or whoever's still with you. If that was you, hats off to you. God bless you. And for looking out over the United States. For real. So anyway, we've got all these assets up in the Great Lakes. It's been going on too long. It's much, much too long. Too many millions and jillions of dollars are being spent. The aircraft, some of them are having to take off, they do a few racetracks, then they have to come back down and land. And then they come back down and land, then they're going back to where they came from. Then they're putting new ones in. It's like you're seeing the Air Force and Navy planes as well in certain areas. You're seeing the breaking apart in air, in a sense, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have the spare parts. And, oh, yeah, they try to rehab stuff or build planes and engines and, you know, wings and area and all that kind of stuff, airlines. They do all that on a regular basis, but you also got to understand B-52s, a lot of them were made in 1952. The B-1B bombers, which are hot dogs, they were the top of the class and are still being used. Because they're a bit more hardened. And they also have more parts for them that are not like the B-2, where I've told you in the past, you have some will-be-was type parts, some stuff that might help it to go zero gravity and stealth and all the kind of things. Go fast, but to go in a different mode of transport, you see. To help them. So the B-1Bs were, what, 70s, 80s, you know? B-1B, Bob, remember, from California, who was the first guy to get knocked out of the box down in Southern California. He got knocked out of the box the year that they opened up all voting was to be done. But if you had a driver's license, you could vote. Well, then that let everybody in, all the illegals in, everybody in, because in California they give everybody a driver's license. And he got knocked out of the box. But we're a long way different from there now. So I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as best as I can tell you, is that ongoing for 3, 4, 5 days, there has been a massive, intense search, surveillance, all kind of planes, naval vessels. There's no Coast Guard. The Coast Guard's fighting with their ship somewhere else. People say, well, why don't they check the Russians' ID at the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway? Well, if a yacht comes up in there and the yacht says, Wall Street honey or something like that, and they got the right paperwork, because paperwork can be done, and perhaps they bought it, perhaps they are GRU Stay Behind, second generation, who are now on Wall Street or rich, and they bought it at a U.S., or if they're in Canada, at a Canadian boat dealership, have all the paperwork, but they've been retrofitted, you see, because they've gone to Europe with their yacht, you know, or gone this way, go out to sea, and then they have some people come on board, put this up, set that up. But all I'm telling you is, if you look, HiSutton.com, S-U-T-T-O-N, HiSutton.com, HiSutton.com, you might be able to see some things and be interesting in older stories about this, but we're understanding that the newer models look more like a big guy's yacht, you know? So you can bring those into St. Lawrence Seaway, and then they'll dock along the way and put on provisions and fuel, and every harbor master would love to have them in the harbor because it fills up the pocketbooks of all the people, Canada side, U.S. side, all the way down the Seaway, and then out into the Lake Ontario and on into Huron, Erie, and Michigan and Superior, you see? It's like an inland sea. This is a huge area of water. So they need all these planes and all this stuff to try to look out and contain it. Now, Brother Quayle, I talked to him several times the last couple of days, late at night, all the things, an incident. Let's just do it right now. Lord Jesus, will you go to Brother Quayle? I know he may be on the radio right now on another show. Lord Jesus, will you go to Brother Steve Quayle? And at this moment in time, will you give him the full force of your anointing? Give him medical miracles. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Brother Quayle. He's doing better, but I'm going to tell you, he's still having to rebuild his lungs. And it's by the grace of Jesus and our Father in heaven that Brother Quayle, SQ, is still with us. And man, we need him in the fight. So ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that these are not usual. This is warfare. It is an asymmetrical type warfare. It is not hit the beach of World War II, or they're going to come with landing craft, the Russians will come with landing craft and paratroopers and hit the beaches in Virginia and Maryland and Florida and this. No. They already got a ton of Spetsnaz battalions full inside the United States. They have the GRU Stay Behinds, okay? And the second and even some third generation Russian spies for the Russian military intelligence who have the nuclear suitcases still buried up in the mountains and in various country areas, and they're all set up and they maintain them and they're ready to go, and all they need is the, I don't know, is it 9806, 9807, is it 9824, I don't know, 9825, 9831, oh, that's interesting, 31911 31. And I'll tell you what, at first we thought, well, maybe the Russians are kind of cute. They're playing a game. 31 is not 31 days November. So I told the best SIGINT man in the world, I told him, you know, I'll bet you maybe they're talking about 4-1 or 12-1, December the 1st, which was yesterday. And don't you know it? Putin gave a speech on that day. And he spoke out, and he spoke not only to all kind of people, but he spoke to all of his ambassadors. And I think that everything is poised and ready to go, and if a hypersonic missile zips on through and pops this, pops that, or maybe just pops the power grid, or maybe they just start with Cumbre Vieja, all right? Maybe they start with that, or maybe they start with the steel mill on the Indiana Dunes area. Maybe they start with that, or the recycle center in East St. Louis. Maybe they pop something down in Houston in the Ship Channel, or they nail a refinery in Louisiana, or a refinery in, you know, or a power plant or whatever in New Jersey or Ohio or Iowa, Illinois, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe they pop a TVA dam, which was always going to be one of their targets, a Tennessee Valley Authority dam. Maybe they nail that one down there, you know, by Nashville in that area, you know. So I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but I think that we're about ready to get popped, and I suspect that, as I've told you, that you had better be prepared and ready to go. And you know what the first preparation is? You know what the key preparation is? Repent of your sins and ask Lord Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. And if you do that, He's going to start to wash you clean. He'll start to wash away your sins, and He's also, He'll give you, if you need it, true sanctuary. He might use you to stand up on His behalf, to stand in the gap against evil, or against somebody that's going to come in and invade, or to come and take your home, your families, your food, whatever. But you'd better be ready, because there's power in the blood of Jesus, and we're at that time where that's what you're going to do. Now, I've also heard, now this is interesting, this one I don't know as much about it, but I have heard this. I've heard that there was an elocution, let's say, or a word from the Lord that said, when the Bishop of Rome finishes his trip, returns home from his trip, that he will weep for what has already occurred and happened. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I have heard that, and that is interesting, because we've also heard in a separate thing on December the 4th, allegedly, that down in South Antarctica, down in the South Pole area down there, that Illuminati, those who worship Lucifer the Lightbringer, that they're having a big conclave down there. And I will tell you that my estimation, no question about it, there are fallen angels on the planet down there, and Lucifer himself may be in that city in the pyramids under the ice, okay? Linda Moulton Howe, she said a SEAL and some guy, a SEAL team went in there to try to find something. They saw this big door. It looked like a steel or titanium door in the side of an ice cliff, which looked to be like in the side of a mountain. They went up to the door, and they were ready to rock and roll. They were looking for somebody, a scientist or something. They were sent to go to find. They went up there, and they touched the door, and the door opened magically. And it was 40, 30, or 40 below outside. They go inside there, and it was like 68 to 72 degrees, and the door shut automatically. And then all along the walls in this real tall, very tall hallway and stuff, rooms, very wide and tall, there was all this green, iridescent green lights, the walls lighting up as if from behind, and then all kind of these different glyphs, hieroglyphs or some kind of letters. And don't you know that Brother Quayle has been researching that with scientists and with computer people, and they found in Mexico and in various sites they've been looking at, they found over 500,000 of these glyphs, and they're starting to get an idea of what an alphabet might be. Anyway, I don't know, but it apparently that I think the Bishop of Rome is going to what? Cyprus? Did he leave in today, or did he leave yesterday, or did he leave today going to Cyprus? And then he's supposedly going to return from his trip, wherever he goes, Cyprus and wherever else. He's supposedly going to return on the 6th of December. And so the word is possibly, and I can't guarantee this, I didn't get that word, but somebody did and gave it, that the Bishop of Rome, when he returns from his trip, will cry and will have to weep for what has already occurred. Now, what I suspect, we might see Cumbre Vieja blow, and 65 million people die in North America, and then millions of other places in Europe, England, the Azores, the Canaries, all the different places, obviously, parts of Africa, that thing is going to go everywhere, and it's going to go back and forth with huge power, huge size of wave. And if you've not reached it, just come into the show now. Cumbre Vieja is a shelf, a volcano that possibly could blow an entire section of La Palma, Canary Islands, off into the ocean. If it does, the models say somewhere between 100 to 300 foot tall tsunami wave that will travel at 500 miles per hour approximately towards the west, and it will hit the east coast of the United States. That'll go way pretty far inland and will kill probably estimated 65 million people. Now, I'm not saying it's coming tonight. I'm saying you should be prepared and you should be observant and you should watch the channels that show the live events going on in La Palma are all over the web. Brother Quayle posts them a lot of times, stevequayle.com. But anyway, I believe that Putin has subs, some other vessels. I believe he has Spetsnaz spread out. I believe that sabotage could be getting ready to be ongoing. I believe they could also hit us with missiles and also hasten the Cumbre Vieja pop with some kind of a nuclear devices or something there, or electromagnetic pulse, and pop it and cause this to happen. That then would cascade all of the power grids in the entire United States. And if they don't work, then they got the hypersonics or just even the cruise missiles or the regular ICBM. Don't go into their Luciferian knife without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Remember Old Hawk. Keep Old Hawk in the game. And mighty men and women of valor, I believe I saw you the other night. Tip of the hat off to you. Will you use your high technology to strike blows against the enemies of the Lord Jesus? The enemies against America. This constitutional and true sin. Bandigo Rangers, I know you're ready. And old Mickey LaPua, Mickey, get ready, baby. Better go see General McCormick. And then I'm going to see all the road track, Little L, and Mom and Dad down there. Lord Jesus loves you. He'll protect you against all evil. You guys be ready. Thanks for all you do. Ladies and gentlemen, go out tonight and prepare.